Welcome to episode 195 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. This week's show is sponsored by Adventure Required, ethically sourced knitwear for outdoors folk. Their line of hand-knitted hats are crafted by female Quechan artisans in the Andes Mountains of Peru. The hats are made from 100% baby alpaca wool, giving you the softest wearable fabric, perfect for keeping you warm during the cold winter months. The company gives women in Peru a chance to help their families by supplying them with work that pays a living wage. These women are incredibly gifted, and their talents can be seen in each and every hat that is sold by Adventure Required. To receive a 20% discount today, simply visit their website at adventurerequired.net/shop using the code TAP2015, that's TAP2015, at the checkout. With Christmas just over a week away, your thoughts are now probably turning towards which presents you'll be giving and receiving. Now, personally, I find it quite difficult to know just what to suggest when asked what I'd like. But that doesn't necessarily mean there aren't items on my wish list. In this week's show, then, I'm running through a few ideas which you might like to consider if you're stuck for ideas too. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 195. Okay, so I'm sat here trying to work out what I'd like for Christmas. And it's quite difficult because I don't want anything. Now, that's not to say that I don't appreciate being given gifts, but, and this is probably going to sound quite contradictory, there's nothing I want. The thing is, I don't have lots of hobbies. Photography and the outdoors were always my two main interests. And of course, what happened? I made them my career. And when I started my career, as you can imagine, I had various amounts of photography kit and a few bits of outdoor kit, things like walking boots and socks and waterproof jackets and what have you. But I'd already got the kit that I needed to start up and get on, move things along. And as my business progressed, I upgraded kit and I became aware of what was on the market and what might help me. And so what happens, and this is the case every single year, it gets to around Christmas time and my family will say to me, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I just cannot, very often, I cannot think of anything that I particularly think I would really, really like that. Now, I would imagine that it's probably the case with photography, as in, as it is with all hobbies that you get really into. You might go through the year thinking, "Do you know, I really wish I could have that. I really would like that, or I'm going to save towards that. And if I could just own that bit of kit or what have you, it would really help," and what have you. I am in the, shall we say, fortunate position in that I've got to the stage in my work whereby the kit that I have, I don't really upgrade it that much. I've talked about this a lot in the past. I don't have the very latest camera bodies, the very latest lenses. What I have is functional. It does the job. My clients are happy. I'm happy. You know, sure, if suddenly I had a windfall of money and I was in the position to upgrade, I would probably look to upgrade a bit. I wouldn't suddenly go and buy all the latest, the latest models and all the rest of it necessarily. So I'm quite a humble guy in that sense, but it does make it very difficult for friends and family to know what to get me for Christmas. The other thing that I suppose makes me quite fortunate is that, as you know, throughout the year I do the test and review work, and of course a lot of the stuff that a lot of the companies that approach me to do the reviews, it's the sort of kit which I think, do you know what? Obviously, yes, that would be interesting to look at because I could see me using that in the course of my work. And often those items are the sort of items that if it got to the end of the year and I thought, oh, what could I have for you know, Christmas? What would I like? I might turn to those and think, that's, yeah, I'd really like one of those. But of course, by that point, I've already got that item because it's been sent to me on review. So it was put out there a few weeks back, the question of what would be on my Christmas list or what kit would I maybe be looking, excuse me, what kit would I maybe be looking to purchase in the new year? So I thought what I'd do is I would run off a few ideas for you. It may be that it serves as a bit of inspiration if you're in a similar position, or it might just be nothing more than interesting to hear my take on it. And what I'm going to suggest might actually surprise you. Now, there are limits to what I'm going to suggest. For example, one of the things that's been on my mind towards the end of this year is when I look at all my photography kit, all my Nikon gear, all my lenses, cameras, flash guns, what have you. The sort of work that I do, that stuff is great for certain work. It's great for photo shoots, portraits, location stuff, events, that sort of thing. But when I'm just heading off on the hill and I'm maybe researching a story or what have you, you already know that I very often take a very, very scaled down kit. And I typically take my Nikon D800 with maybe a 35mm lens, a very lightweight tripod, and that is fine. Now, I have thought towards the end of this year, do I look at maybe getting a compact camera system, something like the Sony's of this world? A lot of my colleagues in the outdoors use those sort of cameras because they are very portable, but they also pack a punch. They have the quality. So the first thing that I'm going to say is that it's not on my wish list to buy in the new year, but it would be it would be nice to look at compact camera systems, like I say, that sort of the Sony type cameras. And for those of you that are actually thinking about this, let me just bring up a link for you that I can share with you. One of the articles that I wrote for Wex Photographic, this is going back earlier this year, back into June, was a buyer's guide for compact system cameras. So you've got the Sony's and what have we got, sort of Samsung, Canon, all the various manufacturers that do this sort of thing. So obviously a lot of you will be aware of the Olympus OMD and the Fujifilm X-T10. There's Lumix, of course. They're very, very good. You could think about those. You know, and I could go on, but I'm not going to. If you're in this position and you're thinking about those sort of cameras, please do take a look at the link in the show notes, which then links you to a piece on the Active Photographer to do with this buyer's guide. So in my mind, I'm thinking maybe looking towards the spring. Who knows? I might reinvest in some camera equipment like that. But much sooner than that, and this is something that is on my it is on my list. It's not going to be a present from anyone, but I very well may make a purchase in the new year of a compact camera, like a point and shoot. And I've spoken about this briefly some weeks ago in a podcast. I started to do a bit of research, and I also wrote another buyer's guide. I'll link to that for you, buyer's guide to compact cameras. I had a look at the sort of cameras that are out there, and there are so many. And for me, as I say, what this all comes down to, like all of my kit, it is about function and keeping it realistic with reference to what I need equipment to do for me. So, for example, there would be no point me lusting after a Hasselblad, for example, or a Phase One, because I'm not a high-end studio type advertising photographer. That sort of camera is not the sort of thing that I would just chuck in the back of a rucksack and head off on a hill and sit in a tent in the rain and all that sort of thing. But what I have been thinking about is, over the past years, my compact camera was a Canon G9, a PowerShot G9. I've spoken about this a lot. It was very good. It's sort of showing its age now. It stays in a cupboard. I don't really use it. So I'm looking to upgrade. And because I want to be doing more video stuff behind the scenes, I've looked around a bit and I haven't gone into a lot of depth, but I've come to the realization that actually the Canon PowerShot G7X is a very good contender for what I'm after. Now, you can look at all the specs and you can look at all the forums and reviews and what have you, but at the end of the day, I want to see real world results. I want to see that that camera can produce decent results in the hands of people who I admire, whose work I like, the content they put out on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all this sort of thing. And I've seen some very, very good videos recorded on the Canon G7X. So I think that's probably going to be my more realistic, treat to myself. It's a tool. I need it for my work. So it's not really a treat, but that will be something that's on my wish list, I guess. What else? Let's talk about the outdoors for a moment and outdoors photography. Now, this coming year, I've got all sorts of things that are on my to-do list, places I want to go, stories I want to shoot and write, and content that I want to bring you guys. And I want to be documenting it, of course, so that's where I'm talking about that point-and-shoot camera. But there comes a point where if you have a family, or just people that care about you, boyfriends, girlfriends, wives, whatever, when you're out on the hill, it does come into your mind that, hang on, what happens if something happens to me? What happens if I twist my ankle when it's getting dark and I can't make my way down the hill? All that sort of thing. And so one of the things that I've been looking at is what is known as a spot tracker. And I will put a link in the show notes to this. Long story, very short. Spot devices are basically GPS trackers, which you can send updates so that people can follow your progress through a route, or you can send an automated text saying, I'm fine. You can pre-program it to say, I'm fine, settling down for the night, see you in the morning, whatever. Or you can send a thing that says, help, fallen over, broken leg, whatever. And so people can see in real time your progress. And I know people that have been using these spot trackers. The one that I particularly have my eye on is, it's called a Spot Gen 3, G-E-N and the number 3. That was something that I was thinking about for Christmas. Or rather, you know, when people say, oh, what would you like? I wouldn't expect them to pay for that, because they are around about £100. But I would say, well, look, you could give me some money towards that. Now, I've looked into these a little bit closer, and they are, without doubt, incredibly worthwhile, useful, sensible devices. But there, you look into it, and so you have the initial, say, £100 or thereabouts. Then you have a service package to pay for. And I think, I haven't done loads of research, but from what I can tell, it's probably going to be another £100 or so a year for what I would want. So, you know, you can't put a price on your safety. But for the time being, with the sort of work that I've got in mind and places I want to go, there are, and we're talking mostly about when I do solo stuff here. There are other ways around having to spend out so much money. One of the apps that I use, and I've mentioned this before, but it's well worth a look, is by the Ordnance Survey. It's called OS Locate, and I'll put a link in the show notes. And you can download it free to your iPhone or your whichever smartphone you have. And it basically does the same thing. It's got, it knows your location. You can send messages from it. You can, let people know where you are, that sort of thing. And I've been using that, as many of you will know. And it's pretty good. It's not foolproof. But it is certainly another option. And I haven't looked into it any more about what other options might be available to me. But again, the Spot is a fantastic device, and it's not that I won't buy one. I have to say, do you know what? If I had all the cash with me right now that doesn't have to go on other things like bills and Christmas and more bills and the stuff coming up in the beginning of the year, I would probably just go and buy one straight away. I'm not, to be clear, I'm not being tight on the cost of it, because without doubt it is well worth the investment. Even if you only use it once or twice in the year, it's got to be worth it. But that's something to think about. So again, you can see all these things are starting to be things that I would use in the course of my work, right? So the only thing that, when I look at my Amazon wish list, for example, it's not a wish list for present ideas for people to buy me whenever they say, let me buy you a present. It's things that when I see something, I think, oh, that looks really good. I'll make a note of that. And very often what I'll do is I will add it to my Amazon wish list, and then it's there. And then when it comes to the end of the year or my birthday or what have you, and people say, oh, what would you like? I can dip into that and say, well, look, this is, you know, £15 or £20, what have you. That would be really nice. Thank you very much. But invariably on that list is, it's a book list, basically. And there are, you know, and I should have done this maybe beforehand. If I just get my Amazon wish list up here, there are certain books which have been on there for ages, and I still haven't got round to buying them. And they usually surround things like photography, the outdoors, and health, fitness, and nutrition. So there's a really good book here that is all about jerky, sort of drying meat. And of course, I have a food dehydrator, which is really good for if you do a lot of camping, what have you. You can make up lots of meals and snacks and stuff that will, they're light. They can be rehydrated when you sit down to have your dinner, or you can nibble on them as you go along the track and what have you. So anything like that, this one about its recipes. Most people think about jerky being, or biltong, if you're South African. Jerky and biltong tends to be beef, but of course you can also do jerky with beef, pork, poultry, game, fish, fruit, all that sort of thing. Now, I wasn't aware that actually fruit and vegetables is classed as jerky. Maybe the process of jerkying everything is that's what they mean. But that's an idea. But just scrolling through my wish list, it's all books, pretty much. It's all books. There's a really good one here. A lot of you will be aware of this, the Magnum contact sheets. So the Magnum photo agency, with some of the most iconic photographers of all time, the likes of Cartier-Bresson, for example, and what was his name? George Roger, I think it was. Let me just double check. Just looking at my bookshelf here. I cannot find it for the life of me. Oh, there we go. Yeah, so George Roger, who was a Magnum photographer, long-standing, you know, incredible work, classical work. You should maybe take a look at it. I'll put a link in the show notes. So the Magnum Contact Sheets book has this kind of... I suppose novelty value, would you call it? Because you're getting to see scans of the contact sheets that the photographers had and the stories behind which pictures they chose or which pictures Magnum chose to run with and why. And for those of you that don't know, because I'm aware that a lot of you probably have never printed contact sheets because you're just used to the digital process. In the good old days of film, you would go in the darkroom, process your film, that you dry the negs, cut them up, what have you, and you would sandwich the negatives to make what's known as a contact sheet. So if you imagine, under the enlarger, you've got the baseboard, and then next level up, you've got a sheet of photographic paper. You then lay your strips of negatives on top of that, and that can either be in a dedicated holder or I used to use just a sheet of glass with the edges kind of ground down so they're not sharp anymore. You could even have the negatives in negative sleeves, which are absolutely clear to hold them all in place, and then put the sheet of glass over the top of that. And then you just shine the light down from the enlarger, and what happens then when you've processed that piece of paper and developed the picture, essentially the picture is a picture of all of your negatives. And what you would do, excuse me, you'd get what's known as a chinagraph pencil, or these days I suppose people would maybe use Sharpies, and you would mark off the pictures that you want to print, and then you go back into the into your place with the enlarger and you would print those pictures. Anyway, so Magnum contact sheets, that is what it's all about. So books like that I find fascinating. Regular listeners will know I really love the older photography, more so than modern day photography in many regards. What else on my Amazon list here? I've got a new portable microphone that clips like onto your shirt for when I'm out recording. Nothing wrong really, I think, at the moment with the one I've got, although it would be nice to upgrade and just get a fresh one, and then I could use the other one just as a spare. More books, more books, more books. All sorts of things, just clicking through here. Yeah, I won't bore you. The list goes on and on, but it is essentially books. So books are great for presents. If you want inspiration, if you want to look at the work of other photographers or find locations to go walking in order to take pictures, for example, there are many, many good books around now that allow you to do that, just to have them as reference pieces. The other thing that's on my list is an ice axe. Now, it is not the sort of thing that I'm going to be using much, but if you remember, the start of this year, actually, when I was up in Snowdonia with my good friend Alex Staniforth, and we were doing some walking, we went up Mount Snowdon, and we did some wild camping, and we did a photo shoot and all the rest of it. To get to the top of Snowdon, it was the last weekend in January, and it was, we were in places, we are knee deep in snow and needing ice axes. And because I haven't really done a lot of that sort of thing, I don't own my own ice axe, I borrowed one of his. But yeah, I'm thinking the sort of stuff I want to do, places I want to go, more sort of stuff, I might look into to getting an ice axe. And the one that I'm looking at is around about £100 again. You know, well worth it, because in terms of safety on the hill, you can never overlook that. But of course, these things are great, but you also have to know how to use them. So how to do a self-arrest when you've got an ice axe to stop yourself rolling down the hill and all this sort of thing. That's another thing. Another thing that's on my mind is a multi-tool. Something like a Leatherman, for example, or a Gerber. Something that a lot of people think about, Swiss Army knives. things that have screwdrivers and a knife and a bottle opener and a toothpicks and a screwdriver and magnifying glass sometimes, all these different things. I have thought for a long, long time about whether I get a multi-tool, whether it's as a present or whether I go and buy one. And up until this point, I've always got around the issue. For example, and you've heard me speak about this, when I'm trying to attach a quick release platform onto the bottom of a camera, the quick release platform from my tripod, one of the things that I find most suitable for tightening that up, if it doesn't have like a little flip out sort of catch that allows you to hold onto it, the most suitable thing I've found is a coin, and specifically a 50 pence piece over here in the UK. And it works really well. Screwdrivers are okay, but who's going to carry a really big screwdriver around with them? And the chances are, when you're out on the hill, you'll have some money somewhere in a pocket, along with your car keys or your wallet or your phone or what have you. So if you've got a coin, you can always use that. But I'm thinking, do you know what? Maybe I should finally just bite the bullet and think about getting a multi-tool. I don't have a specific one in mind, but, you know, again, I'm really struggling. This is actually one of my relatives that's actually saying, what do you want? And I think, oh, do you know, I suppose I could say that. And I don't wish to sound ungrateful, but there isn't that spark with presents where you think, do you know what? Oh, how exciting. I really, really can't wait to receive this. What, you know, I really wanted one of these for like months. It's not one of those things, and it is a practical thing. I will really, you know, I would really enjoy receiving it, and it would be super helpful. And it may well be that I say, yeah, that would be really nice, thank you. But it's just because, you know, it would be useful, and it's an excuse for a present when someone's asking, what do you want? So there we go. I'm very difficult to buy for. And the thing is, I don't, for me, Christmas and birthdays, it's not about, I know this is probably going to sound really cliched, but it's not about presents. It's not about receiving, you know, what can you ask for and all the rest of it. It gives me great pleasure to buy my family presents and just seeing their reactions, you know, and seeing how happy it makes them to receive these gifts. But I just don't want people to spend lots of money on me, is what it is. What does sometimes feel a little bit like Christmas for me is when I get sent kits to review, because if I think, wow, do you know what, they've finally solved a problem on paper, at least to this particular you know, need for this particular item, and no one else has thought of it before. And I get really excited about testing something out. So, for example, as I record this, not necessarily today, but this week ahead, I have got deliveries coming from Vango, who do all the outdoor kit, tents and rucksacks and all that sort of thing. And also have a delivery from Manfrotto as well. And all this sort of things, this will be shared, of course, on Twitter and Instagram and all that. But I'm actually more excited about receiving those, A, because there are some items which I've been waiting for them to bring out, or trying to, you know, we've been trying to work it out when they're able to send it over to me and what have you. So I'm actually really, you know, it is completely to do with work, but the products, I'm looking forward to using them and obviously putting them through their paces in the course of my activities for my work. But that gives me the sort of buzz that you should get when receiving a present at Christmas. So those are kind of my initial thoughts. And do you know, I should be today, I should be sat here as I record this. It is, oh, it's 10 past 12 in the afternoon. I've got loads to do. But I'm sat here racking my brains trying to work out what on earth can I ask for Christmas from these people. Now, there have been a few things I've suggested, like to do with health and fitness. I have suggested, well, do you know what? You could, if you want to get me a stocking filler, this thing's only £1.99. Just get me that. That'd be lovely. Thank you. You know, so there have been a few little odds and ends, things like that. But I've got to sit here today as well as doing my work, and just think about what I can, say. Do you know what? This is what I would like. So if any of you are in the same position, because it is quite painful, not, you know, you think, right, this is my one time to be able to get something that I would really like, and you just can't think of anything particularly. And as you can see, the items that I've mentioned are, nearly all of them are over £100, and I wouldn't expect people to have to fork out that sort of money. If they really insisted, well, that's very, very generous, but, you know. So whether it is something that is to do with the outdoors, whether it's something to do with photography, why not get in touch? Let me know what you've got your eyes on, what you've got your eye on. Is it a new camera? Is it a new lens? Is it something that maybe I have talked about through the year that you have been waiting for Christmas in order to receive it because someone has said, do you know what? I would like to buy something really nice, and what would you like? Is it an item that I've reviewed, maybe? Or just maybe something that I've talked about that I haven't reviewed, but you've maybe followed a link and made a note of it, and that's what you're going to get for Christmas? Or, put it another way, if that's not the case, what are you going to treat yourself to either for Christmas, a present to yourself, or in the new year, maybe in the new year sales? I'd really like to know, actually, because I find it quite interesting to see what other people are, you know, what other people kind of, what matters to you, basically. So a lot of the things I've talked about are to do with safety and making sure that I'm comfortable on the hill and being able to produce the content that I need to share with you and all this sort of thing. But you obviously have got different requirements, and maybe you've got a trip coming up and you want to document it. So there's a particular camera that you want for that, or a new tripod or something. So do let me know, because as I say, I'd be very, very interested to hear what you've got lined up. So I hope that's been useful. If you have any questions for me about any of those items that I've mentioned, obviously do check the links in the show notes. But if you've got any other questions, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. Next week's show will be the last before Christmas, so if you'd like me to follow up on anything mentioned in this episode, be sure to let me know. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon. Thanks again to this week's sponsor, Adventure Required, producers of ethically sourced knitwear for outdoors folk. To receive a 20% discount today, don't forget to visit their website at adventurerequired.net/shop using the code TAP2015, that's TAP2015, at the checkout.